Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. There's nothing like the delicious experience of TIFF's Treats. And in this download, Austin Business Journal editor Colin Pope welcomes the guy who got stood up for a date. And when Tiffany Taylor sent him a batch of her hot-from-the-oven cookies to apologize, well, he convinced her to start a business.
25 years ago, an Austin icon was born with about $20 of capital, a cell phone, and an oven in an Austin apartment. Since then, TIFF's Treats has been delighting the stomachs of Americans with its roughly 100 stores and a workforce approaching 2,000 people. The company is known for bringing warm cookies and brownies and other treats straight to your doorstep or to your office. And leading the charge this whole time are the power couple, Tiffany Chen and Leon Chen. And on this episode of Texas Business Minds, we spend some time with Leon Chen, the longtime CEO of TIFF's Treats. Hey, Leon, thanks so much for joining us today.
Colin, thanks for having me.
Good. So you've got an epic, well-known story about you starting this company, you know, when you were sophomores over at UT. I don't think I've ever asked you, did you go the Michael Dell route and drop out to grow this venture, or did you actually get your degree?
I actually got my degree. I like to say I kind of ended things with a whimper. You know, as the business kept getting busier and busier every semester, I spent less time focused on school. So I did graduate from McCombs. Tiffany also graduated. She graduated from the communications school. I like to say if school was probably another year, I might have had to drop out.
Yeah. Well, good. Stay in school, kids. Good message for everybody
else.
Did you get an MBA?
No, I did not. I got an MBA from the School of Hard Knocks.
Gotcha. What did you major in back then?
Marketing, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, that might have come in useful. So, you know, and that kind of gets me. You mentioned the School of Hard Knocks. What does that look like? Because I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, how does somebody get the education if you don't have that MBA and formal education? How does somebody like you know how to manage a workforce of thousands of people in hundreds of locations in several states?
We really learn better from doing something poorly or failing and then fixing it. We very rarely get it right on our first time. So it's an iterative process for us. And that's kind of the way we learn, unfortunately. But we like to say we adjust quickly and make the right second, third, fourth decisions.
Did you ever get any like continuing education, or have there been any CEO networks or anything else like that that have helped you understand this world that you now not only live in, but are kind of on top in?
For sure. CEO networks, not anything formal, but I've been very, very fortunate to have had some really nice mentors throughout my career, early on, middle stage, and even now with some of our board members being former CEOs themselves. We've just been very, very fortunate. And so a lot of times we will have conversations. The best conversations are the informal ones, not in a meeting setting or a board meeting setting, just a quick phone call saying, hey, I got this problem, man. What would you do? And then just talking it through.
You know, one of the best examples was a guy named Mark who started up a chain called Mama Foo's Asian Cuisine, yeah. And, you know, delivery model that he's got there. And I asked him, he was a tech executive. I said, well, how'd you go from tech to knowing how to run restaurants? And he said, Colin, you'd be surprised who will pick up the phone if you just ask and make that call. And so he was saying, yeah, I'd call up the CEO of Schlotzky's and he'd take my call and walk me through how you do particular things. So, yeah.
I think once you've done it, you realize it's a small club of people who truly understand the absolute stress and panic that sets in sometimes and pressure that you're under. And so I think that once you've been through it, anybody else that seems like they're nice people, you're willing to help out for sure.
Well, one of the things that I think that's neat about you and your company is that you are in rare air in that you've stayed at the top of the company all these years, which kind of puts you in the same realm as like a Michael Dell or a John Mackey from Whole Foods, you know, people who started the company and over the years, the investors, the board members, everybody else has confidence that you can run a big company as well.
Thank you for putting me in that category. I'm very, very far away from those two, but in our own little world. Yeah, it's just kind of snuck up on us, really snuck up on me too, before it feels like a blink of an eye and it's 25 years. I remember driving down Guadalupe and seeing Amy's Ice Cream. They had a banner outside their store and it said celebrating 15 years. And I remember thinking, oh my God, if we could just make it to 15 years, that would be so amazing. But that just feels like a week ago. And all of a sudden we're here 25 years. So I there's no rhyme or reason or no trick to it. It's just, I haven't gone anywhere yet.
That's great. Well, as we speak, how many stores are you up to now and how many states is Tiff Streets in?
Gosh, I wish I knew this off the top of my head so easily. We're at 93 retail units, but okay. We're delivering out of probably 100 plus locations now. We have a couple of delivery only partnerships. And so we are in most of Texas. We are in Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Charlotte. We are in Tampa, Florida, Denver, Oklahoma City, and we're delivering out of LA and San Diego as well.
How do you decide which market's next?
We kind of were fortunate to kind of grow up and start building the business right when the tech age started as far as the internet. We were one of the first to have a online ordering system before a lot of the retail clothing stores or any retail stores. And we were able to snag our URL, cookiedelivery.com, because nobody else was buying web names. And so we kind of learned early on technology was very important to our business. And so we have a lot of technology that helps us decide where the demand is on your website. For instance, if someone tries to order, but they can't quite get the order because they're trying to order in New York City where we don't deliver right now, we'll be able to say, hey, someone tried to order from New York City. And so it's very simple after that. You just count, hey, a lot of people want us in LA. Oh, hey, a lot of people want us in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's worked out for us. We do get a little bit more into demographics, psychographics, and all that stuff too, but I wouldn't understand it enough to be able to tell you on this.
Yeah, well, I know as you expand such tremendous borders, you know, basically coast to coast is what we're talking about with you. Consistency scares a lot of people in your position. And, you know, that's got to be extremely important. And I assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but you probably want the cookies in Austin to taste just like the cookies in LA or Tennessee. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Tiff is, she is the one that, holds that very, very close to her. I mean, the company has her name on the sign, so she is still the one who will taste test every single cookie, and we'll all taste test and we'll all have our opinions, but it's one of those things, if 99 of us say, hey, this one is the one, and she's the one's like, no, it's this one, then we all go with Tiff, you know. And so yeah, we learned that early on, consistency is the key. We do want to have that same, not only taste, but we want to have that same customer experience as well. So we put a lot of time and effort to make sure that the customer experience is the same if you would order from Atlanta, Georgia, as Nashville, as Texas. And that, again, that takes a lot of iterative learning, a lot of mistakes, a lot of messing up cookie orders in order to figure out how not to mess up cookie orders.
What is important to your company's customer experience? I'd imagine making sure that they get there warm. That's what I, you know, me and everybody are all about when we get these cookies and they say, oh my gosh, it's like they just came out of the oven.
You hit it right on, warm first and foremost. There are some delivery places that deliver warm product, but warm dessert and baked to order cookies, cookies that are baked just for you, we're one of the only ones that do that. And so we focus on warm, but it's really the whole experience from your ordering to the delivery of it. What we realize over the years is that people are using us in order to connect with other people. A lot of times they're trying to send a gift to somebody from states away, from many states away, or maybe they're in the office and they're ordering and they're connecting and they're sharing the cookies together. So what we kind of realized very early on is that the cookies are really just a conduit. It's a way to connect people. And so when we would mess up, we would deliver the wrong address or put the wrong cookies, customers would have this reaction. We were like, oh my goodness, it's just cookies. Why are they so upset? And then we realized, reading the gift messages, seeing kind of the kind of orders that go through, people would tell us like, hey, look, Tiff Treats, my grandpa, when he was fighting cancer, the only thing he could stomach was Tiff's Treats. And so I remember sharing Tiff's Treats with him towards the end of his life. And the last thing I ever did with him is share a box of Tiff's Treats with him. You know, that kind of importance people would place on these moments using Tiff's Treats. And so once we realized that, we said, okay, it's not just the cookie taste. It's not just the warm. The entire experience needs to be as close to perfect as possible. We need to get it there on time. And if we don't, we need to make up for it. We need to make sure the packaging is beautiful, doesn't have smudges on it. And one of our tenets is make it right. If we don't do any of those things, we will fix it. A lot of places, if you order from a lot of delivery companies, like food delivery companies, if they forget your ranch dressing or they forget your French fries, I ordered online. I don't want to say the place, but I didn't get this one item I really, really wanted. And it ruined my entire meal because I was like, the whole meal was built around this one item. It was red beans and rice. I was like, I wanted the red beans and rice. And so I go on and I let them know like, hey, I didn't get my red beans and rice. And they're like, okay, we'll credit you back the $4 for the red beans and rice. And I'm like, well, that doesn't solve it. I still don't have red beans and rice. And all you did was just give me my money back. So at Tiff's Treats, you know, we go above and beyond. If we miss an order, we'll make sure to get that experience. It's the experience that you try to pay for. And if you didn't get it, you'll never just hear one of our team members say, okay, we'll give you your money back. We always try to give you that experience back.
I've gotten Tiff's Treats here in the office, in the newsroom. I've gotten Tiff's Treats at my house. Is it the office environment, that corporate business? Is that where most of your action's coming from still now?
Yeah, you know, it's split. I wouldn't say evenly. I'd say we're definitely the go-to office gift. We're the go-to office snack. But over the years, it's kind of our business outside of the office has grown. And even if it's in the office, it's not always a corporate order. A lot of times it's a spouse sending a anniversary gift to the office and a birthday present to the office from your son or daughter. And it gets shared in the office and it's at the office, but it's a personal gift. But over the years, it's kind of evolved. And obviously with the pandemic and all the shifting and work from home, we've actually kind of seen it change a little bit over the past 3 years.
Real quick, how did that pandemic hit your company? Was it a blessing or a curse, a mix of both?
A mix of both is probably what every company ends up saying about the pandemic. We got so busy. It was definitely a blessing to not have to go through what a lot of businesses really had to go through and a lot of business owners had to go through. We just exploded during the pandemic. We were growing and growing and growing. We hired 500 people in the first 6 weeks in 2020 just to fulfill the orders that we were getting. And so it was a blessing in that regard. But then the aftermath that everybody felt, the labor issues, the supply chain, like being able to hire people, supply chain issues that a lot of businesses faced, and then high interest rates, all the aftermath of the pandemic, that's the kind of the challenging part where it's like, okay, there are no free rides. That was not a free ride. You know, you got to pay the price at some point. Either you pay it in advance or you pay it later.
Leon Chin joining us. Next, the ingredients for a successful store opening when Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, we work vigilantly to investigate and prevent workers' compensation insurance fraud, which has resulted in over $13.5 million in restitution and recoveries for Texas businesses since 2018. Learn how your business is better at texasmutual.com/fraud.
So when you open up a new store, you've done it about 100 times now, what have you found the best ways, I guess marketing-wise, to get the word out that you're now in the neighborhood and an option?
Yes, we used to do these, and we're starting to get back to them. We had a pause during the pandemic, but we used to do these great big grand openings where people would line up. They'd line up early morning. They'd line up the night before. We had somebody line up 26 hours in advance of our opening. So it was a 9 a.m. Saturday opening. They got in line at 7 a.m. on a Friday. And I think that was Arlington, Texas. And they would stand in line. We used to make these huge community events out of the grand openings. And the word of mouth would help spread them. We would do a lot of the social media stuff. And then just our customer base. We would open in an area of town where there was high demand for our product. We would send emails out and we would post on social media and then people would just show up.
One thing that I've observed, I don't know if this is new, but I've just kind of noticed it over the past few years, is that your vehicles, the delivery vehicles, I don't know if all of them are, but they look like they're company owned and they've got the nice paint jobs. They look like the cookie boxes that you deliver with the white with the blue stripe on it. It's got your logo. Explain to me the decision of owning your own fleet, if that's what you do.
Yes, we lease those vehicles, but yes, they are ours. They are our expense. And every 3 or 4 months, I think to myself, man, we got to get rid of those. Those things are just so hard to maintain, cars at that level. We have a fleet manager that their full-time job is cars, maintenance of the fleet. Early on, we kind of realized we're a premium product, right? And so we wanted to present ourselves and have it delivered in a way that people understood this is a white glove service. As well, our delivery drivers were putting a lot of wear and tear on their car doing a bunch of deliveries. And so it was just really hard to find a perfect mix of how do we handle that. And so we decided early on to look into having our own fleet. Having our own fleet definitely has its advantages. The disadvantages for sure, the repair and maintenance and gas. But the advantages are there's always a nice vehicle available. The drivers love it. It presents well. We can control how clean or how dirty it is. We can control what bumper sticker is or is not on the back of the car. And so it's been great. Our drivers truly love having those cars because one thing that none of us control is the price of gas. And so when gas prices spike, it's really, really hard on delivery drivers to have to use their own cars. And so us being in charge of all of that is something that I think is a competitive advantage. And at the very least, people see you around town. I've had many people say that, hey, I just saw one of your delivery cars driving by. And we'll notice, too, if we have a delivery in one office building, about 15, 20 minutes later, we'll get two or three orders from that office building because someone's looking out their window and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, that sounds great.
You just put a billboard in front of their office. Yeah,
it's a moving billboard, too.
Yeah, very, very neat. So what can we expect from Tiff Streets in the future? Similar growth as we've seen in recent years?
You know, that question is harder to answer now than it's ever been because for 20 years, it was just rinse and repeat. It was just this simple rinse and repeat. And then the pandemic hit and then, you know, all this stuff, all the growth that we experience. And now we're kind of in this new world. You know, there's when we started, there was not these Uber Eats and DoorDash, all these delivery apps, right? Delivery is definitely something that has become commoditized, right? Nice. A little bit. And so we are very fortunate to be doing what we do. But the path to growth might be a little bit different because for us in our 25th year, we're seeing this opportunity explode where the demand for our cookies isn't just in nearby cities or in the state next to us. It's all over the nation. And so it's my job and Tiff's job to figure out how can we get our product and our service out there faster. And so that's what we're contemplating now is how can we get our delivery service out there? Because of what we do, it's not just people ordering a snack at the office or a snack at home. The majority of our orders are actually gifting, when someone sends somebody a gift. Because of that, there's a lot of connectivity. And so if you have a brother that works in Dallas and your mom's in the town next and you have business contacts in Atlanta, you'll send gifts. You'll be our customer in all those cities. But you'll also probably have other friends and family in areas of the country where we don't service right now. And so there's a lot of that kind of connectivity and that kind of demand. So I think you'll be seeing some surprising things from Tiff Streets in the near to medium term future. You know, we're going to figure out a way to kind of explode our growth a little bit because there's a lot of opportunity for us.
Very good. Very good. Does that mean you rely on more capital? Or could you go public maybe? Or how do you fund?
There are a lot of different options for that. And we're right now trying to figure out the best option. Fortunately for us, we did raise some funding. I believe our last round was 20 and 21. So that is always the question. In order to do that faster, you either need funding or you need to find another avenue for getting your product out there. And so we're tinkering with a couple different ideas. One of the things that we're really excited about is our delivery only model in LA, and we actually opened one in McAllen, Texas. McAllen, Texas probably doesn't have the demand to for us to invest in a store, which costs $500,000 to $1 million yet, but it doesn't mean it won't get there. But in order to service that area, we realized we don't need to have a physical retail location. We can have a setup where there's a commercial kitchen and a staff that's trained to fulfill those orders.
Is it like a ghost kitchen? Is that what they call that?
Yeah, you know, it's a ghost kitchen, or in some cases, we may be partnering with like-minded businesses who have kitchen, they have labor, they have a building, and they have excess capacity. And so one of the things that we just launched this year is called our Bake and Deliver program, and where we partner with an operator that has excess capacity, and they are trained by our team and vetted by our team to fulfill Tiff Treats orders, and we send them the orders through our technology. And so that is one of the most exciting areas of growth for us, because we're able to launch within weeks a location, and you can start delivering. So in LA, we're delivering in Southern California out of 9 different locations. It took 3 weeks to open each of those up. Normally, if you're going to build a brick and mortar location, it would take about a year from site selection to grand opening, and a lot more money. And so that's one area of growth that we see that we're very excited about, because we can fulfill a lot of the demand right off the bat, and we find good partners to do it with.
You know, honestly, Leo, that's a little old hat for you, because if I recall, isn't that how you really got started, was by sharing a kitchen with somebody else after you outgrew the apartment oven?
Yep.
You kind of did this.
Full circle.
It comes full.
Yeah. It really does. It comes full circle. And so, yeah, I've thought of that myself, Colin, how ironic that is. And we're not done building brick and mortar at all. We just opened last week, in fact, in Cibolo area in San Antonio. And so we're not done building brick and mortar as well. We're just trying to figure out ways, like I said, to capture more of that demand faster. The world's just so connected now, right? And so our customers just have the needs all over. And so we're very excited about our Bake and Deliver program.
Well, very good. I just got one quick question. It's my favorite question, because I think we all learn so much more from our mistakes than we do our successes. So I wanted to ask you my tried and true question of, what's one of the bigger mistakes that you've made in business over the years, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of it, should I go real high level? Should I get nitty gritty? This is kind of in between. You know, it's one you probably heard about a lot, and you know, it's called the Peter Principle, and it's not talked about that much. But when you're growing a company over 25 years, you have a lot of amazing people that help you get started, and you have amazing people along the way. And I think one of my bigger mistakes is having the expectation that that one person who's a star delivery driver is also going to be a star manager, who's also going to be a star district manager, who's also going to be a star VP of supply chain, or star, you know, anything. Some people are superstars at certain things. And I've made the mistake of trying to grow them, being so nervous about making sure that we grow their career, that it actually it sets them back a little bit. We've actually hurt people's career because we've tried to make them something they're not. And so now, years and years later, I still make that mistake, but we're trying to correct that now. And I would say that's definitely one, because when you promote somebody to a position that they're not that good at, and it's going to take them a long time to get good at, you have someone who was great at something. Now you don't have that anymore. You don't have that person that's great at something, and they're also not yet great at their new position either. So you turn an all-star into a, you know, an okay player for the time being. So I'd say that that's one of my bigger mistakes I've done over and over again. Probably not only my biggest mistake, but one that like I do consistently, one that I took a while to learn from.
Gotcha. Well, very good. Leon, it was a pleasure talking to you as always. I really appreciate your time and sharing your insights and stories with us.
Colin, thank you so much. Always a joy talking to you.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.